Campbell. Welcome to episode 46 of the Handcrafted Guitar Builder. Today I'll be speaking with Mark Wilmot from MRWS about soldering, or as America they would say, no, I say soldering. So solder, I think it says solder in, always makes me think of the English sod off. So no, we're going to be chatting about soldering. I'm just trying to hook up the computer at the moment, and my computer has decided to be ridiculously slow. So anyway, let's with no further ado, let's get into the interview, or the, I suppose, what is it, the podcast, I suppose, today. It's just me and Mark talking shop. We're recording.
You've got quite the crisp.
Sorry? Say it again.
Haven't got quite the crisp sound we had last time.
No, it's all gone a bit funny. I'll tell you
we
what I'll do.
We don't quite have the crisp sound that we had last time.
Yeah, yeah. We're recording at the moment, but what I thought we might do, I mean, you don't need to see my ugly mug, do you?
No.
We'll try and do it like a phone call. Yep.
Okay.
Messenger's up to its usual tricks. All right, as you can hear, this is all part of the game. We're just trying to get a good connection. But I've used the video, but we'll see if we can just connect using there.
Hola.
Is that better?
That is way better.
All right. Yeah, we've got. We've got bushfires up here in the Blue Mountains, or controlled backburning. So I'm hoping it's controlled backburning. Whether or not that's messing things up in the airwaves, I don't know. But anyway, welcome back, Mark.
There you go.
Yeah, episode 46.
Already?
Yeah. Quick. Yeah, I kind of feel though that there should have been a lot more, but I got caught up towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year with a whole heap of stuff. So the podcast tended to fall by the wayside a little bit. So, but someone actually, there's someone out there in the world, and I won't name the person, but there's someone out there in the world who actually believes in us. We actually have not only a subscriber, but we actually have someone who is supporting the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is really quite lovely. So that was, you know, and it's, if someone out there likes the show enough to, you know, to invest a little bit of their hard earned into the show, then I'm quite honored. So it's not a vast amount of money or anything like that, but it's something that I feel rather humbled, so, which is rather nice.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Yeah, you know, it's someone's actually bothering to listen to us spout on and. So I suppose the first question, mate, how's the old ticker? You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, mate. Okay. Everything's back to normal. I did my last rehab the other day and got filled with clean house.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, that's bloody awesome, man.
I'm all but ready to go back to what I was doing.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah. I'm having a look around here. I've got bloody devil's hand strings up my wazoo at the moment. It's just my workshop is a freaking mess at the moment. It is an absolute bloody disaster zone. It's just been helter skelter here for the last 2 weeks. It's been absolute mayhem. So I just am I making my point well enough?
You are. I'm assuming that might change sometime soon and get slightly worse.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to get a hell of a lot worse. For those not in the know, I'm in the process of actually opening up a little a music store in Katoomba.
A brick and mortar store.
A bricks and mortar store. A real life. It's a real life. I want to be a real boy. So yeah. So I'm really quite chuffed. It's one of those funny little stories that can I regale you with a small short story?
Yeah, Well, I'd like to hear it. I don't know about the rest of them.
Well, about going back to 2000, if we go back to the turn of the new century, I was basically working. I was working 6 days a week selling bridal gowns and bridesmaids' gowns and all sorts.
Really?
Yeah. All sorts of crazy stuff like that, and
I can't see you in a dress.
No, okay. No, and it was. I'd worked since about 1995. I'd worked in menswear selling suits, and I got a little bit down here in Sydney. And I worked for about 5 years for Reuben F. Scarf, which was a men's suiting store down here. After spending 5 years with them, I decided, you know, it was time to move on to something else. And I thought, a friend of mine said, oh, look, I'm moving into bridal wear or formal wear. Do you want, you know, would it be something you might be interested in? And foolishly, I said, yeah, all right, we'll have a little look at it. Because that's basically...
Why not?
That's basically in retail what happens. You tend to get headhunted. So I moved into formal wear, where I kind of swiftly realised I wanted to pretty much shoot myself. So I'd spend most of the day I would spend actually, pretty, you know, serving customers and things like that, which I do love to do. I actually really enjoy sales. I actually have a lot of fun doing it. But I thought, look, there's got to be something else, and I started, and I love music so much. I decided, oh, look, I wonder if I could open a shop. And this is in 2000. And I started looking around, and I started contacting different suppliers, and I had this whole idea of opening up a music shop that only sold Australian-made instruments. And that was the big thing. I wanted it just to be Australian-made, and I really wanted that focus. And after talking to a few people and life kind of getting in the way again, I thought, oh, look, no, it's the wrong time, and I ended up going to uni and becoming a teacher and all that sort of stuff. And I think your wife's a teacher, isn't she?
No.
No.
My mother.
Your mother. Okay, I'm thinking of someone. Someone said someone else's wife's a teacher. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I spent a few years doing that, and then I discovered electric guitars, and I thought, you know, after playing guitar for 20 years, I've always wanted to build one. So it took about 2 years to build two electric guitars, and in the meantime I discovered cigar box guitars, and I completely became infatuated with building cigar box guitars. It actually took over. I didn't play electric guitar for 2 years. I didn't pick up a six string electric guitar for 2 years. I only played cigar box guitar, which is surprising in that I should be a lot better than I am then. But
I understand that one. I'm exactly the same person. I've been playing for years, but I'm fairly average.
It's one of those things where I want to play blues. I've always loved blues, but I play blues like I'm a heavy metal player playing blues. You know? And I started building these guitars. Anyway, look, to cut a long story short, what basically happened was, all through this time, I've always wanted to basically open up. I've always wanted to open up a music shop. It was always been the dream. And I started building cigar box guitars. I thought, look, I'm really enjoying this. I want to sell them. I made it. You know, same story as many, many people. I decided, look, open up an online business. You know, I was ordering a lot of things from eBay. I was ordering a lot of things from, you know, I'll CB Giddy over in the States. I discovered you. I absolutely loved having someone local, you know, that I could actually order my goods from here in Australia, you know, which I thought was just bloody brilliant. You know, so, and then, you know, I got to meet you and all that sort of fun stuff. Got to meet all my customers, got to start doing markets. And in the meantime, what basically happened because of the markets is I started to really develop this love of actually selling again. Cut forward a few years to my wife's birthday. The day after my wife's birthday, we were going up to Katoomba to see a friend of hers, and they basically said, oh, thanks for the lift, Adam, and you can go on your merry way. I thought, oh, okay, well, this is pretty cool, because quite frankly, I didn't want to hang around with the girls having a chat anyway. And I came across this this little shop, because I wanted to go to Vinny's. For those people who are hearing these weird sounds, I'm actually stringing up a CBG as I speak, because I'm quite frankly just, I'm so short on time, it's ridiculous. If you hear that and it's getting really annoying, let me know and I'll stop.
Is it having too much fun, Adam?
So what basically happened was I found this crazy little shop. And very, for about a month or so, everything that my wife and I have been talking about or doing, everything had to do with circles. I don't know why. Like, we would find circles. Things would come up and it'll be a circle thing. I'm kind of a believer in signs or some sort of thing, or just sometimes you get a vibe or it's something hits yours, you know, whatever. And for it was a couple of weeks. So it'd been going for a little while, but a couple of weeks, all of these things were starting to come up. Circles were appearing in our lives. You know, we found, walking up the street, we found a ring on the street, another circle. We handed it in to the local shop and all that sort of stuff. But all of these weird things were coming up where these circles. The front of the shop, the front door of the store has three circles on it. And it was just one of those weird things. And I loved it. It was not, you know, it was all, and I love, you know, I love my 60s guitars. You know, I love my 60s Japanese guitars, you know. And it was 69. So it's number 69, Waratah Street in Katoomba. And I thought, it just struck me. And I needed to find out about it. So I went next door to some Vinnies, you know, and I asked them about it. Lovely people, by the way. And they were really helpful. And they told me actually who was leasing the place out. They said, oh, go. He's up the street. He has a store, blah, blah, blah. I went and saw him, introduced myself. And he said, well, actually, it's being leased out. And the reason I asked about the shop was because it looked vacant. And apparently there was a band in there. And they'd only meet one Saturday a week. And apparently it was just, you know, just basically a group of local musos. They'd get together, have a bit of a get-together. And, you know, they'd socialise. They'd probably smoke a few, have a couple of drinks, and then on their merry way till the next week. And the guy said, oh, look, it's being rented out, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, you know, if ever anything changes, let me know. And he pointed out, he said, oh, look, go and see this real estate agency. They do the work for me. I said, all right, that's cool. And I toddled up and saw them. About a week later, I get this phone call from the real estate agency. They said, believe it or not, they said the band broke up. They said the band's broken up. All things have gone to hell for them. And he said, would you be interested in signing a lease? And I said, yeah. You know, yeah. I'd definitely be interested in doing it. Mate, the headache it's been incredible. The local council here, just there's something going on, because I'm telling you, they gave us the runaround. They were telling us we had to get environmental impact studies. We had to get all this rigmarole. They were telling me it was going to cost thousands of dollars to do all this sort of stuff. And we questioned it, we asked about it, we were chasing things up. They were telling me one thing, then they were telling the real estate agency another thing. It was crazy. Until finally, about 2 weeks ago, I get this phone call from the real estate agency, and they said, you know what, you don't have to do anything, you can move right in.
Yeah,
lovely. Yeah, after all of that, absolutely crazy. So they said, you can move right in, it's all... So actually yesterday, I was pretty chuffed, yesterday we went and signed the retail lease agreement. We have to sign the... Well, yep. It's not the lease, but on Friday we actually signed the lease and get the keys. So I'm currently surrounded by 15 unbuilt cigar box guitars. Four of which are customer orders that need to be completed and posted out tomorrow. it's just been an absolute mad rush, but it's been awesome. It's been absolutely awesome, you know, and that's kind of what's happening here. And you know, we're going to be you know, hopefully getting a few very cool suppliers on board, and nudge nudge wink wink, and and you know, we'll be getting things happening. So it's going to be one of, I think there'll be myself up here at Katoomba, Is it Mark Wilkes down in Sutherlandshire, I think? And there's Shane Soule down in, I want to say, Oodnadatta or something. Where is Shane Soule again?
Yakandanda.
That's it. So Shane Soule down in Yakandanda. And as far as I know, that's only three dedicated cigar box guitar stores in Australia that I know of. So I'll be the new kid on the block. I haven't heard from Mark, but Shane Soule's actually very kindly offered his support and said, you know, good luck and everything. And I popped into the local music shop in Katoomba, Katoomba Music. Spoke to Ian, who's the owner there, and I know Ian. As a courtesy, just to let him know what was happening and that sort of stuff. And
yeah, sure.
He was just lovely. He said, "Oh, he said, look, he said this is it's the best thing." He said for the area to have all of this sort of stuff happening. He said he's so supportive, which was so great. And then he said, and to let us know when you need some strings and stuff like that, because we might be able to get a price from the suppliers. So, so it's just been the feedback from everybody on Facebook and locally, the support from family and friends has just been, again, very humbling. So it's been bloody brilliant, but I'm just pretty much just building up stock for the store. I'm hoping to open with about 40 cigar box guitars of varying prices, and also the retro guitars that I've got, the old 60s guitars, will have a space for those, the old amplifiers. And a few, there's going to be a few other local companies, companies who build amplifiers and things like that, and drums and stuff, who are going to have a few things in on consignment, which is really lovely, you know. Which is I'm as happy as Larry to support any of the local guys as I can.
For sure.
Obviously, with the cigar box guitars, I'll pretty much it'll be exclusively my own. For all other things that aren't cigar box guitar related or cigar box guitar specific, I'm definitely chatting with these guys and putting stock in the shop. So, yay. So it's been nice, Mark. It's been really good. So what's been happening? Yeah. So you know the dreams can come true. People who want to, you know, and yes, I know. I'm not gonna. I know small business. It's tough. You know, we're gonna be playing it tough for a little while here, but you know, it's
yeah, the way it works.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, it's we'll see what happens. And look, the absolute worst case scenario is that if the business doesn't do what we're hoping it's going to do, I come back to doing this. I'll still be building guitars. I'll still be building cigar box guitars, but it just means I'll probably have to go back and, you know, take on the day job again. That's it. That's the worst case scenario. It's, you know, at the end of it. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed, it'll all be good.
I'm hoping for you, it will be.
Yeah, thanks, man. So what's been happening MOWS side of things? What's been going on for you?
Oh man, lots of things. I'm in the process of retaking photos.
Yep.
Because I'm gonna change. I've had a few people ask me about bits and pieces recently about why can't they buy just one machine head or, you know, two lefts or 18 rights or whatever.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So I'm moving out of the six packs and I'm going into individuals.
Individual tuners?
Yeah, so you can pick six in a line or whatever.
Wow.
To you that way.
Interesting. You're not worried about being left with too many underside ones?
No.
No?
No, I'll just make another order and get more of one side.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I aesthetically tend to really like the look of the two on the top and the one on the bottom. But
I agree with you.
Yeah, but I think as realistically when you're building, you've got to use them all up, which is why I kind of came up with the underside for the Matt Charnley Rolling Thunder that I do, they're all underside. They're all underside tuners to kind of get rid of. Sorry, Mark. Sorry, everybody. The shortest member of the Birdwood Guitars and a team has just popped his furry little muzzle in. And no, I'm not talking about my son Daniel. I'm talking about the dog Prince. So it's wow, man. That's cool. What else has been going on?
I'm just playing catch up now that I'm healthy. Healthier.
Yep.
I'm also in the middle of making, you know, Christmas presents. I tend to do a whole bunch of breadboards and cutting boards and chopping blocks every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do a market for that as well. I'm trying to get into doing some body blanks. Someone keeps tackling about them.
Yes, all right. That's me. So yeah, I'm definitely because I mean for those people, it's I love building electrics as well. My chosen timber, and don't shoot me for this, listeners. Don't scoff, because there is a valid reason for me liking this timber. Is I absolutely adore using materials. Being a bit of a cigar box guitar builder and a lover of cigar box guitars, I love using things that you wouldn't normally use. But I really love using ply for guitar bodies. I love it. I love the sound. I love I don't know. It's just one of those peculiar things. Like hardly anyone uses it. It's, you know, and look, for varying reasons, but I figured with thousands and thousands, well, 750,000, I think in 7 years, back in the mid to late 60s of,
Japanese guitars,
and you know, say what you like about them, they're still playable. They're still going. You know what I mean? They're still playable, and I just love the resonance. I actually love the tone in them. So, but I'm a bit of a lo-fi junkie. So, what do you want? You know, it's if you want, you know, Ibanez gem tones out of it, you're not going to get that kind of thing. But it's what I love. But yeah, I love the idea of having someone local that I can actually buy blanks from, you know what I mean? And it's nice knowing someone that you can actually do it. So that's really exciting. Neck blanks, you're doing those as well?
I will be, yes.
What kind of timbers might you be using, my man?
Well, at this stage, the one I have available, which is the Queensland Maple.
I heard someone say the Queensland Maple was becoming a bit harder to get your hands on.
Yeah, sure.
Did it?
We'll go with that.
Sorry?
We'll go with that.
You'll go with that?
No, you can still get Queensland Maple. The problem is it's pack size, you know?
Yeah.
I've been humming and arguing about getting a decent pack size. You really must, you can look at, you know, between 1.5 to 2 cubic meters of timber at a time. It's a lot of timber to store.
Yeah.
But it's worth it in the long run, you know? You've got a spare $4,000 cash, you can go and buy it, but...
Yeah.
At least that way you got timber for this sort of thing, because you know, once you set up your jigs and all that sort of thing, you can really get through that.
Yeah.
And Queensland Maple's beautiful. It's gorgeous timber.
Well, you sent me down, so I think I got a Queensland Maple fretboard for a customer order, and that was gorgeous. I loved using that.
Yeah,
I love fretting that. That was really nice to fret too. It was sturdy as. That was very good.
Not a real maple. I think it's actually close to relation to mahogany.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got no idea. you could call it whatever you want. You could call it timber version X or whatever like that. I don't care. It looked right. It was. You know, I don't know. I'm learning as much as I can about timbers and stuff like that. But I'm certainly no expert. I just figure if it's got a nice straight grain, if it's not twisted, if it, you know, if it's sturdy enough and doesn't flex too much when I'm holding it, yep, that'll do.
That's why you like ply, Adam. Don't have to worry about that.
That's exactly it. What's going to happen to the ply? Is there going to any movement happening? No, nothing.
Look, we can get into the arguments of you know, tone woods and stuff like that, but the reality is for the very small percentage of people out there that can actually hear the difference. Well, no, that bit of mahogany, that came from the west side of the Brisbane River. You know, for those, that small percentage of people who can actually hear it,
yeah,
it really doesn't matter. Well, that's your guitar, for crying out loud. It's got a, you know, it's a pickup.
Well, I
change the tone. It's a bunch of crap. You can never have the same pedals. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I think for an acoustic instrument, it's different. I think for an acoustic, you know, you can, you know, here's the argument. Actually, here you go. Here's maybe this will solve. Maybe this will solve the argument. Hang on. I've got a piece of. Here we go. I've got a Blackwood neck here. Hang on. And I've got a piece of whatever the crap this is.
I should know. The timber, the more sustained, technically.
Yeah. Well, hang on. I've got a little bit of wood. Let me hit this wood with another bit of wood. We'll see if there's a sonic difference. Right, here we go. One, two. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
One.
There is actually a big difference.
And two. Oh, no, hang on. Oh, that's interesting. One of them had a higher pitch. The other one had a slightly lower pitch. But they both sounded like two bits of wood being smacked with another stick. So,
well, you know what? If that's the way you're going to play guitar, I'm not surprised.
Look, whatever you want to use, use it, you know. But this is going to be cool. So you'll actually be able to... thickness it all down, because that's probably the hardest thing, because it's... Like, I think a lot of builders who probably listen to this show don't have access to their own planar thicknesses and sanders and the, you know, the big drum sanders and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well,
you know, and that's, so it's nice.
How serious you want to get, though?
Well, I think
I've got those things.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's you know, but for a lot of builders, like with me, I've got, for me, it wasn't a question of room. For me, it was a question of security and finance, you know. So for me, I've had a thicknesser that I bought from Aldi. I've had it for four years, and it's great for doing things like just thicknessing necks, the sides, stuff like that, stuff that's not, you know, not necessarily life and death flat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's stuff where, you know, if I want something to be dead straight, I'll tend to use my, you know, my straight rule, or, you know, my straight edge and the router. You know, I kind of trust that more than I do the little, you know, the little thickness that I've got.
Yeah,
but,
mate. You know? I'm a hand plane man, so, you know, when I make a neck, I mean, I rarely use my thicknesser, but I do use, because I'll cut, on the table saw, I'll cut my laminated, the pieces for laminating my neck.
Yeah.
And then I run it through the drum center just to get rid of saw marks and stuff. But it's not a thicknesser, it's not really that, it's not how it's designed.
Yeah.
I glue it together, and then I use the hand plane to do the top and bottom, to get it nice and square. That's what I do. It's quicker for me to do it that way than to use a jointer, which,
yeah,
I hate. I loathe jointers. They're dangerous things.
Yeah.
not to say that if I didn't have the opportunity to have a bigger workshop, that I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah. Mind you, your workshop's pretty damn big.
It's not too bad. It's not quite as big as you think.
Yeah.
I've got it fairly well set out, which makes everything easier.
Yeah, it's...
But I've been doing it for years, so, you know.
Look...
Coming from a carpentry background.
Yeah. Well, the way I figure it from my point of view is, at the end of the day, like, I've basically got an open-air workshop. You know, it's the hole under the house. And for me to have any machinery or equipment down here which is actually worth any money, it's crazy. Because all I need is a weekend to be away and it all gets knocked off, so... The only thing I'm happy about is that with the little shop, you know, that the little store that I'm getting, I'm going to have a little spot up the back for my little bench, and you know, I've just got to basically decide what I want to take with me. You know, I'll be doing cutting up and all the heavy stuff here in the mornings, and then taking all the fine stuff to, you know, to the store to basically do the finishings and all that sort of stuff. So You know, that's... I'm lucky, I think. I'm very lucky, you know, being where I am. I think there's a lot of builders out there. I always think Brianna, you know, working up in like the 32nd floor of a unit block in the middle, you know, in the middle of Sydney CBD. You know, and the fact that she can build these awesome guitars, you know, that kit guitars and things like that, and the cigar box guitars and stuff, and you know, she's out there on a balcony, basically just, you know, building these things. I'm very impressed. You know, I think a lot of people probably in that situation would just say, "Oh, it's too hard. I'll pick another hobby." You know, I'll collect comic books or something. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, but you know, it's.
Yeah, my wife loves comics.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, what's really funny. We digressed completely away today from what we were actually going to talk about, which was. Which was actually soldering, which was actually setting up.
We do that all the time.
Yeah, which was actually setting up your workstation. So, how's this for an agreement, Mark? So next week, what have we spoken about today? Let's go back. I'm opening a shop.
Shut up,
Mark. You're working with body blanks. You're going to be rejigging your tuners, your machine heads. Anything happening with pickups?
There's always something happening with pickup. I'm sort of stuck in that place we were spoken about before, where I know the work I've got is way too much for one person.
Yeah.
Not quite making the finances for a second
employee. Yeah.
Getting there, though.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that'll be good. That'll be great. It's that next step up. It's also that big next step up in the tax bracket.
Yay! Yes, it is. Exactly right.
Yeah,
we're super.
Well, we were looking at, you know, talking about Australian finance. If you're listening in Belgium right now, I'm not sure if this is going to pertain to you so much, but my wife looked up for me. She said, "What if we could maybe get a grant for the shop? What can we do about getting a grant?" And she was talking to the lady at the tax department or wherever it was, or Katoomba Council or wherever it was that she was talking to. And apparently they said, yeah, you can. You're entitled to do it, to get a small business grant. They said, but to do that, you actually have to not be a sole trader. You actually have to technically become a company and then hire someone else. I said, okay, well, how much would, you know, we be talking about? Oh, you could get a $2,000 grant. I said, okay, but then I've got to put someone on. Okay, and that's going to be a certain amount of money per week. Then I'm going to have to pay tax, you know, pay their tax. I'm going to have to pay their, all of these other things. I said, I'll pass. So the only thing that I'm going into this with is the knowledge that I haven't borrowed a cent. I haven't borrowed a cent. Yeah. Mind you, I don't have any money. I don't have any money, but I haven't borrowed anything yet. So I'm not, you know, I'm starting at kind of that level, you know, that level keel. So we're sitting in the water. We're not sinking in debt to start with, which is really nice.
Yeah, I'm in the same place.
Yeah, which I think would be terrifying, and it would be enough to actually say no. You know, I'm not going to do it. You know, so but we're luckily we're not there. So, and the idea hopefully is that next week, or not next week, maybe the week after, when we do the podcast again, I'm hoping to actually be able to do all of the podcasts without the shortest member of our team barking at me. So, and I don't mean Mark, everybody. I'm talking about Prince. So,
I'm not that short.
Actually, you're probably taller than me. It's radio. What can I say? I'm 6'4" across the shoulders. And, no, that's not. A short ass. So, you know, hopefully next time we do the podcast, you know, we're going to be doing, we'll definitely talk about soldering. We'll definitely talk about setting up a workstation, because that might be something I'm going to have to be doing at the new shop, is setting up a workstation, figuring out what do I need, what do I have here that is just causing problems. So maybe we'll preempt next episode by saying, you know, these are the things that, you know, that we'll be discussing. So if you're out there, if you have experience in setting up your own workstation, if you've got ideas, if you've got ideas for me about setting up a soldering station, why don't you... you can leave them in the comments for here on the show, but the best thing to do is go to the handcrafted guitar builder podcast group and leave something for us there. Leave something for myself and Mark there. What are things that you've done? How have you set your workstation up? What have you figured out that you can do without? I'm going to assume that if you're doing soldering, you're going to need some sort of soldering iron. So I'm expecting there'll be a lot about that.
Solder.
Yes, and can you solder? Well, I would suppose if you're setting up a station, the theory would be that you can.
Yeah, that's a theory.
Solder. Or have at least done once before. But we don't know. So, guys, this has been episode 46. A bit of a catch-up. A bit of a talk about wood, really. I think we ended up talking about wood, about using hand planes, about using different tools to actually machine your timbers. Also spoke a little bit about setting up your own business.
Yep.
My suggestion is this. If you have a dream and you want to open up a business, put a bucket load of research into it. Put a hell of a lot of time into it. Make sure it's something that you absolutely love to do, would be my suggestion. For those people who are listening and have built 10 cigar box guitars and are going to make their own business, my suggestion for you was this, and I'm going to be a bit brutal about this. Hold off. Wait until you've got a product that you're really, really, really happy with.
Agreed.
Actually,
I think you can be more honest about Adam and say, hey, remember, if you've got a dream, remember, nightmares can be our dreams too.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You've got to be aware of it. You can fail, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's the only way you learn.
Well, you pick yourself up. You know, as I said before, look, I am prepared to put everything into it. It's just like you, Mark. You've got MRWS as a business as well. And I think anyone who has their own business, it is a gamble. You're gambling. And the old saying is never be prepared to gamble something that you're not prepared to lose. Now, the big thing about this is, for me, is the fact that what I'm actually gambling on is something that I love to do. I love being creative. I love building. I love using my hands. I love the fact that I'm currently sitting here with, like I said, about 15 builds, 5 of which need to go out tomorrow, including one of the new pedals, one of the new cigar box guitar pedals, one of the fuzz pedals sold.
So you're pushing it.
So we're pushing it big time, and on top of that, I'll be opening a shop by the next week or the week after as well. But I love it. I absolutely love that. I love being busy, I haven't been to sleep before 2 o'clock each night this week. For the last couple of weeks. It's just been absolutely crazy, and be prepared, Go and do it though, Go and do it. If you want to open up a business, you want to sell, if you want to build guitars, where you can order your supplies from. MRWS. Do you like that plug, Mark?
Certainly can. That's me. I know. I wasn't too sure if you were giving me a segue or not.
So, Mark, here we are. All right, here's the official segue, okay? And no, I am going to tell everybody this. The one thing at the moment is this, okay? The show is not sponsored by MRWS, okay? However...
Yet.
However, I've known Mark for a very long time, and I do love his products, and I do love doing business with the guy, not just having a mate, but he's a good bloke, so give him a chance, people. So,
I have to agree with you. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say something, Mark. This week, we had that. I contacted you this week because I was putting together a cigar box guitar. One of my Lightning Boy guitars. The Lightning Boy guitars use a mortal coil pickup. We had a boo-boo with the pickup. Basically, it's out of... How many mortal coils have I bought off you? I think I must be...
It'll
be close to 30. It's got to be close to 30.
Because
it's been 2 years. Gosh. I'm approaching 60...
I wasn't making them that long.
No, I'm approaching 60 Lightning Boys. But not all of the Lightning boys have had the mortal coil. Some of them have had the little humbucker. And when I first started out, I was using six-string humbuckers. So for probably the first eight, maybe, I was using just stock humbuckers. But out of all those pickups, I only just had a problem with just this one. Put it all together, got it working. I didn't test it, admittedly, and it didn't work. I had another one. I tested it out. I made sure everything else that I'd wired up was working, and it was. I just love the fact.
Did you heat up contact? Get the solder flowing a bit more.
Oh mate, got it all going. I had another mortal coil pickup here for another Lightning Boy I'm working on at the moment. Put that in, worked perfectly, straight up. I tried wiring it directly to the output jack as well,
yep.
And it didn't work. So it didn't. But the thing I loved, I sent you a message. 2 minutes later, I got that reply. No problems. Do you know what I mean? Like, no stuffing around, no messing around, no nothing. It was just, look after you. You know, I just really like that. And I like plugging someone who looks after their customer. And I just think that's a really cool thing. So I'm going to have to learn how to do that. So.
Well, you've got a good face for it, mate. You can have the storefront. And no one has to have to look at me, which is good. They talk to me.
I'm a bit worried about that. I'm going to have to kind of straighten myself up a little bit. I'm sitting here with a bit of a growth going on at the moment. I've got the raggy tag old tracky dacks on. I'm a ripped t-shirt, and I'm kind of quite happy sitting. I'm going to have to dress up a bit now again.
Yeah. Might need to tell the American listeners what tracky dacks are, mate.
Tracky dacks. What do you call it?
Sweatpants.
Oh, sweatpants. Yeah, tracky dacks, sweatpants, solder and solder.
Yeah, well.
It's all right.
I've heard an argument from the solder before, but it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. S-O-L-D-E-R. Yeah. I'm just kidding, my American friends. It's all good. So if everything's happy, we love you.
We're Australian. We've got nothing on language, man. We put O's at the end of everything.
Hey, we use a joie, man. We use a joie. It's not Australia. It's Australia. It's not the doctor. It's the doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
So we do like our joies. Anyway, guys, we're gonna sign off because things are getting a little bit peculiar now. Mark, I might catch up with you next week, mate. We'll have a chat about soldering.
Yeah, no worries.
We'll have a chat about setting up a workstation and what people need for that. Again, it's been a pleasure. Episode 46 is down, done and dusted.
You did not touch it.
Yep. I'm all for it.
Oh, good.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, mate. I'll talk to you later. Catch you later. Thank you for listening, everybody. Remember, become a patron if you want to. Become a supporter of the show by just basically go to iTunes, click on the like button, give us 5 stars. It helps us with our ratings. We are trying to get some ratings. We're really trying to push the show. If you have suggestions for people that we can interview, if you know that there are some really cool builders out there, I have had a couple of really good leads, which I'll be chasing up. I'm really rather excited about some of the interviews that I'm hoping we'll be able to get pretty soon. So you won't just be talking to me and Mark all the time. It's, you know, although we're pretty good, aren't we, Mark?
We're awesome.
All right. On that note, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from
Mark from MIW Adventures.
Catch you later, guys. Bye.